Lord, let us pray. Lord, may this familiar hymn just be not be glanced over quickly. Be with us today in leading our spirits to find the words that we need for today, to dig deeper into it, to know that you are our good shepherd. May your spirit guide me as I share the message for today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A first grader stood in front of his classroom to make a speech about what I want to be when I grow up. He said, "I'm going to be a lion tamer and have lots of fierce lions. I'll walk into the cage and they will roar." He paused for a moment, thinking through what he just said. And then he added, "But of course, I'll have my mommy with me." The 23rd Psalm is one of the lectionary texts for today. It seems timely to use this text because of the circumstances that we are living through right now. Psalm 23rd is probably the best known passage from the Bible, even when people who don't read the Bible at all can quote at least maybe a line or two. Maybe the only reason they can do that is because they've heard it so often at funerals. It's appropriately used there and is a comforting passage to mourners. But if we think of it only as a funeral text, we can miss the fact that the psalm is mostly about the living. In the ancient world, as in ours today, shepherds were herders and tenders of sheep. But back then, shepherd was also a metaphor for the role of a king. They were to tend their subjects, providing for them and protecting them. Unfortunately, many of the kings were lousy shepherds for their people, either incompetent or more concerned about their own glorification. For someone in the culture, when this was written to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," was like saying, "The Lord is my king." So in Psalm 23, the point was being made that God does what a king shepherd is supposed to do. The person was announcing a goal to live under God's law. And the rest of the psalm then becomes a description of the good things that come to that person as a follower of God. This means that because the Lord is good, or is the good shepherd, and we are members of his flock, we shall not be in want. We will have all that we need. And the references to lying down in green pastures, being led beside the waters, and fearing no evil in the valley of the shadow of death are poetic ways of saying the shepherd provides what we need to stay alive. Although we're used to hearing verse 4 in the King James Version as, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the underlying Hebrew can also mean simply that when we walk through a time of deep darkness. Therefore, the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible translates this verse as, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." In that reading, the psalm becomes a statement of God shepherding us in difficult, troubled, and hard times that we go through. The psalm continues following that understanding, talking about life, and it concludes with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And that's because the Lord is my shepherd. A pastor shared this story illustrating this last verse. He said, "I imagine two angels, one named Goodness and one named Mercy. And everywhere I go, they follow me and protect me. I had the chance to experience this firsthand." He says, "I was traveling to Chicago, Illinois, and saw an elderly man and his wife pulled over to the side of the road in their truck waving for help. So, of course, I stopped and asked what was wrong. And the elderly man told me he was a pastor, and he and his wife were on their way to a town up the road and were about to run out of gas and was wondering, could I give him a ride to the nearest gas station? I said, sure. But since he had not run out of gas yet, I suggested that he get back in his truck and drive towards the next station, and I would follow him. And if he ran out of gas, I could take him to get gas from there, but at least we would be closer. He agreed and thanked me. We drove over 20 miles, and I watched him as he would look in his rearview mirror and wave to me as I followed him. The truck never did run out of gas. He made it all the way to the gas station. At the station, he thanked me again and said, just knowing that you were behind us, just in case we did run out of gas, allowed my wife and I to drive without worry, because we knew you were behind us. It's that how God works. That's how God works also. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now let's go back to that valley for a moment. The psalmist says the reason for not being overcome by fear while in the dark valley is that the good shepherd is with him. The psalmist takes comfort in this. He knows that the shepherd is following with his rod and his staff at the ready to protect him. But another fear-reducing factor was likely that the shepherd had been through this valley before. Kind of like I told you about in my children's story, that, you know, Don had been up to the mountain so often, he knew the ins and outs of the woods. He knew where to go, and I don't. The good shepherd has been in this valley before. Only a reckless shepherd would take his flock into a dark valley he'd never been in before. The only reason for leading sheep into it or through a valley where there might be a risk to the sheep is because the shepherd knows there's something the flock needs, like grass or water or shelter in the valley or at the other end of it, and that he can handle whatever might threaten the sheep. We could say the shepherd has first taken a test drive in the valley and knows that the rod and staff will be sufficient to handle the many possible threats. The psalm is a statement of confidence in God. Whether our dark valleys are times of trouble or the actual passage through death itself, we believe God is not only with us, but is also able to conquer whatever threats come our way to our spiritual well-being while we are in that darkness. You may remember the sermon I preached recently on Abram and his confidence in God. The Apostle Paul also wrote about this in Romans. He said Abraham is a model. Paul tells of God's promise to Abraham that a nation would descend from him, and the story of how Abraham, despite being old and despite being married to a childless woman, well past childbearing age, believed God. Paul wrote, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. As in Romans 4, 19 through 21. Paul actually exaggerates the story a bit. Genesis chapters 15 and 17 tells of Abraham being troubled by some doubts when years passed and no child was born to Sarah. Yet Paul is essentially right, because in spite of Abraham's doubts, he kept coming back to God's promise. And as we know, eventually a son, Isaac, was born to the couple, and God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled through him and his descendants. And isn't that the way faith functions for us as well? We don't have proof that God will be with us in the dark places of life, but we do have the testimony of Scripture and of other Christians that God has been there before us and knows the way through it. The depth of darkness sometimes shakes our confidence, but the testimony of people of faith and the Scripture is that God doesn't leave us alone in the dark valleys. Psalm 23, and indeed the whole book of Psalms, is about that confidence. The Psalms in general describe all sorts of human problems and feelings, despair and fears, but like a compass needle that keeps swinging back to the north, they keep coming back to the confidence of God, that God is with us in the darkness. So when Psalm 23 talks about God's rod and staff being a source of comfort in the frightening valleys we go through, it is stating the main point of the whole book of Psalms. Our valley that we're walking through right now has us facing unknown illness for which there is no cure yet. Some of us are tired of hearing about it and perhaps feeling this is all being blown out of proportion. Some people are genuinely afraid of catching COVID-19 or of being financially ruined. People are panicked by their fear. Many are prepared to do what is necessary to protect the health of all people, especially the most vulnerable. And so we can rid this threat from our lives. Before this pandemic, I started hearing a bit of wisdom on the Christian radio station I listened to in my car as I go back and forth to work. It says, worry worships our problems. Worry worships our problems. And I might add, worry gives power to our problems to inflict fear and panic. Prayer worships our God who helps us through them. Prayer worships our God who helps us through them. And I will add, prayer gives power then to God who knows the way through this valley. Prayer tells God we trust him to get us through this. We tell him that we will provide what we need, we tell him that we know he will provide what we need to get through this. It's not going to be an easy road to travel, and it will not be without, at least temporarily, cost to the way of living we are accustomed to. While the Good Shepherd will lead us through this, but it does not mean we sit idly by and wait for God to do everything for us to get through the valley. Mm-mm. A recent post that I saw on Facebook reads, with church doors shutting across America, and I would add at this time, it is time for us to show that the church has never been about the building. We are the church. With church doors shutting across America, it is time for us to show that the church has never been about the building. We are the church. This is exactly what it means to be missional, to be the church, to be incarnational, the presence of Christ, to be involved relationally with others. It does not mean that we need and send people, special people, to go overseas to share the good news. It doesn't mean that necessarily. It's about you and me. You and me being the church. So be the church. Take responsibility to reach out to each other during this time, to encourage one another, to check in with the most vulnerable, our shut-ins and older adults, to see if they need anything, and then deliver what they need. Be the church when you go to the grocery store, being kind and patient to everyone, no matter how nasty they may be to you. Be the church with your choice of words when talking about the pandemic. Be careful not to dismiss a person's expression of fear. Allow them to express that fear, to get it out, to be heard, and try to comfort them with gentle assurances that God will get us through this. Be the church, brothers and sisters. Be the church. We can trust the Good Shepherd. God is never overcome by the darkness. This gives us the confidence that when we're in dark valleys, like we are now, we'll find God there with us, and he will help us. Amen.